Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime is nominated for 6 Tony Awards, including Best New Play. It's been called the most inventive new show on Broadway. The acclaimed National Theater production won 7 Olivier Awards. It opened in New York in October, and a national tour was recently announced. Tony Award winner Marianne Elliott directs an adaptation by 2-time Olivier Award winner Simon Stevens. Based on Mark Haddon's best-selling novel, the drama follows Christopher, a 15-year-old mathematics savant with an often crippling antisocial disorder, as he pieces together clues to solve a neighborhood mystery and comes to a greater understanding of his own family. It's a show that counts on performances from its cast that are by turns full throttle and heartfelt, and relies on an amazing set, light, video, and sound design to help the audience see the world and the action of the play in a logically and sometimes logically overwhelming way, approximating the thought process of the main character, Christopher. We are joined now by cast member Francesca Faradani. Faradani is a British-American actress and playwright. Her previous Broadway credits include The 39 Steps, Man and Boy, and Macbeth.
I play Siobhan, her name is, and in the book, she's Christopher's teacher, first and foremost. So in the book, you hear about her primarily as a supportive force for Christopher. He talks about things that she's told him, advice that she's given him. And you hear a few things about her character, and you hear she's just sort of in there as mainly a support force, particularly when he's going through his adventure. What Simon Stevens has done rather brilliantly is to make her the bridge between a book and a play. And he's turned her into the narrator as well. You're not going to be reading a book while you sit and watch this play. So how do you translate this extraordinary book into something that works on the stage? And you can't answer that question until you watch it, because I remember wondering at myself when I read the book, because the book is so unique and extraordinary. And then you have the same thing happening on the stage, and obviously done with completely different things, but it's telling the same story with very much the same feeling. And I think Simon did this brilliant thing with Siobhan of making her that bridge. So she's the connection. She's the audience's connection to Christopher and his journey, is a way into his heart and his sort of feeling, because he doesn't lead with feeling. He doesn't live in that place where that's accessible to him. So she makes a connection with the audience, because I start off very much directly talking to them, reading from the book, which I have sort of advised him to write as a way to process his thoughts and feelings about what's going on in his home life and what's happened to this dog down the road.
And she, your character, couldn't understand him probably either without having the book, having his writing, because he doesn't express himself readily to any person.
So also, as I'm reading it, for the first time, and I've asked him just sort of to say, oh, well, we're writing stories today. Why don't you write about what happened on the weekend? It sounds like it was quite dramatic. Little does she know she's going to end up with this extraordinary thing. And he's funneled all of his attention to detail and his passion about this mystery and the Sherlock Holmes part about finding out who killed the dog. He's funneled them all into this book. And it's like, you know, teachers who just, you don't know. One day you're going to ask something of your students and you don't know what you're going to get back. And she's sort of bowled over, as the audience are, as they're watching it. She's also bowled over by the detail that's in there, because he doesn't come up with much detail. He's not interested in talking to people. He's not interested in, but he has to do it. He has to step outside his comfort zone in order to find out who killed his basically best friend. And that's leading him to have these insights and to write them down. And so she gets a huge insight into his mind.
She's a person in his life who thought to sort of tap into him that way. Did you have any teachers that you think of as you work on this project? Any educators that really spoke to you, that really helped you?
Oh, that's such a good question. I do think of teachers. I went to a boarding schools in England. The first school I went to, I became a boarder about the age of 10 or 12. Maybe I was 10, to get ready to go to the big boarding school. So I saw my family every day when they brought my sister. But it was very much, it was called Cumnor House School, and you were very much encouraged to be outside and walking around and hanging out. And even if you were given a lead role in a play For instance, if you were playing Hamlet at the age of 10, you could take the entire afternoon off and go and lie under the oak trees and learn your lines. That was considered to be much more important than anything else that you were doing at that time. In terms of teachers, I feel like that whole energy of that place was very creative and supportive. And there were teachers. There was a drama teacher at my sort of high school who was particularly supportive. And I just remember having a really great time and just being so, just on my beam, you know, and laughing at my jokes. And sort of, I felt very much like I could just explore who I was and not feel like I had to match up to something else. But I do think about certain teachers a lot, yeah, in this process. And you meet amazing people backstage, well, not backstage, but outside the theatre. We come out and someone will come up and say, I've been an educator for however many years, and thank you so much. And this, you know, it really touches a lot of people's stories, their own lives, their own hearts, and that's really special.
How did you come to this project? How were you cast in the show?
Oh, well, there were auditions happened about a year ago now. I didn't know much about it. I didn't know the book. I got a call to go in an audition for this project that was coming over from London. And I am British myself, but I've lived here for 20 years. And I just didn't know very much about it. And we needed to know up front that it was going to be a long contract. So that was something to think about. And then we would go in and he did an audition. And then we had to do a movement audition because movement is very key in this production. So that's a bit hair-raising for actors. Suddenly, if they're told to put on some gym shorts and sneakers and come and just do a little bit of moving around, everyone gets a bit terrified. But it was fun, and it was with Scott Graham, who's one of the two choreographers. And he just sort of had us moving around and doing some formations that we had no idea what they were. But now, in retrospect, we know that they're basically something called Swindon Fives, which is one of the train station sequences that the company does. Just a sort of feeling of, can you move and can you actually listen to a beat? And can you count on a five count, even though the music's on a four count? Things like that, which I never knew I could do until now. Apparently I can. Yeah, so that was it. And then there was a sort of, I think there was another audition involved and met Marianne Elliott, and she's great. And here we are, you know, many months later. Yeah.
Marianne Elliott is the director. What type of director is she? What's her particular approach, and how do you relate to it and work with her?
Well, you know, from the first moment you meet her, she's the most supportive person. Talking of supportive teacher figures, to be around, and somebody who encourages just to be who you are and to sort of draw out the best of you to tell the story that she wants to tell. That's her. She's just phenomenal. She's extremely friendly and grounded and really interested in you and what you're saying. One of these people who just looks right into your eyes and when you're talking to them and makes you feel kind of fantastic. And her vision is extraordinary. But you sort of, that came later. The first impactful thing about meeting her is this beacon of friendliness and support, really. And then as you learn, you learn how really infinite her sense of the story is, and how precise it is. And so she's really pushing us all to be precise, and we, you know, we worked hard. We used every single minute of every hour that we had in rehearsal, including the ones when you've already got previews going at night and we're doing tech during the day. And it was an exacting and rigorous process by necessity, because you look at it now, we think, gosh, look what we do. Wow, you know. But it took a long time and a lot of very specific work. So she manages to balance both those things. To be a figure of support, but also one who just makes you want to do really well and makes you want to get it right, and will keep doing it until it's right, until she's satisfied. So,
and teching a show is adding the lights and the sound cues and the sets and everything. Finally, when you finally put it in, once the actors hopefully know all their lines and movement where it's supposed to go, and this show, as you alluded to just now, has a particularly intense teching process. The sets and lights and everything are extreme, detailed and different to a normal play. But how was the tech challenging?
Well, you know, it's just that specificity of the scenes are quite short. There's only a couple of scenes that actually have a sort of amount of length between Christopher and anybody else, particularly in the first half. Very short and very precise. And the movement, the choreography was down to the detail of how a scene ends and how people snap out of it. It's how the way you turn, the direction that you turn out of the scene, which ends the scene, which also immediately begins the next scene. We would spend, you know, half an hour going over the way a scene ends and another one begins. And a lot of the times in the beginning, I'm sitting on my chair, I'm narrating. There'll be a certain word that I say that inspires three people to move over their right shoulder and go in a different direction and whatever. So we'll spend a lot of time doing that. But then there's also the big numbers, if you like, where lots of physical stuff happens. Lots of lifting, lots of walking up on things that are not the floor, shall we say, without giving too much away. So that requires just, I think we had 10 days. Now the tech, in terms of the lighting, the designers had all come from London. So they certainly knew what they were doing in terms of they'd done it before. So a couple of times they put it on in the West End as well. But they needed to do it here, and we need to do it with what we'd done, which is basically the same. There's some certain moves that are different. Scenes are basically the same. But it requires everybody figuring out where they've got to be and what it's like to be in the theatre. And when the lights go out, it's really dark. And where are you going to be? And all of that stuff that really with any play you need to figure out. But with this one, it was just repetition. A lot of repetition, a lot of figuring out. And the animals, sort of figuring out how the rat's going to behave. And things like that, which you don't think about when you're in the room because it's not really happening in that sense.
How trainable has a rat proven to be? Is it fairly trainable?
Yes, the rat's very trainable. They're so smart, the rats. Well, there were two, and now there's one because it's just Toby. She's a bit of a diva. She's a female rat. She's quite a diva, so her friend Agnes didn't last very long. Agnes went to another home because it was just better. Obviously, it was clear that Toby needed to have her own dressing room. So Toby, yeah, she's very trainable. I mean, like any animals, really, the habit, the habitual thing of, oh, this is when I get into my cage, this is when I go on stage, this is when I get hidden in the box, this is when I come off stage, this is when I go and get my treat. And she walks around on Lydia's, it is our wonderful animal trainer, on her shoulder up and down the stairs, and everybody says hello to her. And she's rather brilliant. And quite trainable and quite with a mind of her own, quite willful, I think. But she's been along with us, you know, since the beginning. Same rat.
Your career is primarily, not exclusively by any means, but a lot of classics, a lot of work in the classics. How does doing a new play like this relate to that? Is it the same skills, basically, that you apply?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yes, I am. I do a lot of classical theatre, really. But this, it's been fun for me to not be in a great big crazy costume with some crazy shoes and a crazy wig and have to think about all of that stuff and how that affects. It's nice to wear clothes that sort of more or less I would wear and feel like a bit more like me on stage. That's quite new for me. I haven't done that in a while. In terms of being on stage, I mean, it's all producing sound in the way that you need to on stage is always different for each show. But this one, there are a couple of places where the scenes with Christopher, the scenes with Christopher's mum, there's a few, it's really mainly with Christopher, but there's one scene I have with his mother too. Those scenes are just nice, sort of what you would call day-to-day scenes. I mean, there's a relaxed sense of reality and being in a non-heightened environment. And then there are these sections where I would describe it as being very similar to doing classical text, what's required of you to make the sound, to tell the story in the way. It might be because I have to speak over music that's playing. And it's also about telling the story and keeping it going at the beginning and getting the audience excited and keeping the train running, the sort of the bits of the train. That's the through line of Siobhan's narration, especially in the first half. It's the book. It's the way that we get the story moving and all these scenes are happening. You're learning who all these people are and you're learning about the order because you see scenes, things happen in a slightly wonky order. we hear from the book, and then I put the book down, and then the scene happens where I say, Christopher, why don't you write a book? You know, things like that. But there are these big numbers, I sort of call them in my head sometimes, because they really are the ones that require some diaphragmatic shenanigans, shall we say. And that those are the ones that I equate totally with doing a big old Shakespeare speech or some other thing where you've got to really get your lungs going.
Francesca Faradani plays Siobhan in The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is currently running at the Barrymore Theater in New York City. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.